As we continue our theme on challenges to our industry, Brazil certainly comes to mind. Last spring, I was fortunate to lead a council team of leadership and staff into the main production area of Brazil. It was a fascinating trip, and we learned a great deal about cotton production capabilities and challenges. Our delegation included NCC Vice Chairman Woody Anderson, NCC board member and cotton board member Craig Shook, NCC Vice President of Economic and Policy Analysis, Dr. Gary Adams, and Robert Miller with CCI. I'm pleased to call on Woody to give you a report on what we learned. Please welcome Woody Anderson.
Thank you, Bobby. Good morning. Brazil continues to make a lot of news within the circles of the U.S. cotton industry. And it's a pleasure this morning to have the opportunity to report to you on our recent tour of Brazil's cotton and textile industries. See if I can forward this machine here. We've heard a lot about their potential to expand cotton production and to become a significant competitor in world markets. And more recently, our industry has been engaged in a WTO dispute brought by Brazil against our cotton program. And to make things more interesting, Brazil and the United States serve as co-chairs for negotiations on an agreement for the free trade area of the Americas. With so much at stake and the dynamics between the two countries in constant change, it's easy to understand why we should have a better understanding of their industry. As Bobby mentioned, our delegation got a first-hand look at Brazil's industry over a 9-day period in early April of last year. Before I hit the highlights of our trip, I thought it'd be a good idea to provide a brief overview of the size and scope of the country of Brazil and their economy, as well as their cotton industry. With 173 million people, Brazil is the second most populated country in the Western Hemisphere, second only to the U.S. 280 million people. However, their gross domestic product of $500 billion is only about 5% of the U.S. economy. In recent years, Brazil's cotton production has averaged about 4 million bales, and they've harvested that off of approximately 2 million acres, or about 2 bales to the acre. Throughout the 1990s, Brazil was a significant importer of raw cotton, and imports ranged between 1.5 to 2 million bales. Over the last 2 to 3 years, imports have declined and exports have increased. Now imports and exports are roughly the same, which is about 500,000 bales. We've also seen quite a bit of two-way trade between Brazil and the United States over the last several years. Brazil has imported U.S. cotton, but quantities have been extremely variable, ranging from as little as 12,000 bales to as much as 250,000 bales. And the United States has been an increasing market for Brazilian textile and apparel products. In 2002, cotton textile imports from Brazil were equivalent to just under 200,000 bales of cotton. And preliminary data indicate that the 03 totals will be even larger. Before I turn our attention on what we saw on the trip, I'd like to kind of straighten out our slides here just a little bit if I can and catch up. There we go. We started our trip in Sao Paulo, which is Brazil's largest city, with visits to two of Brazil's leading textile manufacturers. The first company that we visited was a company named Coteminas. They consider themselves to be a progressive textile manufacturer with 11 mills in four Brazilian states, consuming about 500,000 bales of cotton and employing more than 11,000 people. They produce primarily bed and bath products, and the president of their country, interestingly enough, is the vice president of their country. While we weren't able to meet with him, we did have an opportunity to meet with his son, a gentleman named Josue da Silva, who is the vice president of the company. And I'll tell you that Josue is a very impressive individual and is U.S. educated. Coteminas buys some U.S. cotton, but noted that they were having problems with higher mics and weren't able to run that through their mills. They prefer a mic of 4.0 or lower. Mr. Silva is expressed his impression of the professionalism of the U.S. cotton industry, but he was very frank in expressing his feelings that the outlook of the U.S. textile industry is very bleak. He forecast excellent potential in Brazil in their cotton textile production, but was not as optimistic about their synthetic production. He views the U.S. retail market as a primary destination for their expanded textile products. He recognizes the competition posed by China, but feels that their productivity, coupled with low energy costs, will go a long way toward offsetting China's labor advantage. Mr. Da Silva communicated the enormous potential of Brazil to expand crop production, but also recognizes that they face serious constraints. Brazil has an additional 200 million acres that could be brought into crop production, but that expansion depends on several factors: interest rates, infrastructure, and market conditions. To put that in perspective, the United States has about 210 million acres that are currently in corn, soybeans, and wheat production. Additionally, fiscal constraints are preventing government from investing in improvements, particularly in infrastructure, as you can see in this slide, and private investment will be needed. We also discussed future trade agreements at Cota Minas. Josue saw no future for an FTAA negotiation if the U.S. is not willing to include the agricultural programs outside of the WTO. We also had an opportunity to visit with the executives of the second mill named Santista Textiles, who primarily produce denim jeans and workwear. Currently, 30% of their cotton consumption is U.S. cotton, and they have the ability to accept a wide range of microlayer, and were able to mix cotton with a mic as high as 5.4. In their opinion, Brazilian cotton production is here to stay, but again, reiterated infrastructure and money issues as limiting factors. The next part of our trip took us to the state of Mato Grosso. This region, also referred to as the Center West, represents the growth area for cotton in Brazil's cotton production. Cotton acreage is declining in the traditional areas of the South and the Northeast and moving into the state of Mato Grosso. Mato Grosso covers an area of about 220 million acres, which is approximately the combined size of Texas and Oklahoma. About 35 million acres are currently in some form of agricultural activity, and there could be tremendous expansion under the right circumstances. We were told that Mato Grosso has roughly 200 cotton farmers, accounting for about 50% of Brazil's cotton production. If you want to do a little math, that's that 200 farmers accounting for 2 million bales. That's 10,000 bales a farmer and about 2 bales an acre, and implies an average size of 5,000 acres of cotton. Brazilian farmers have taken advantage of the economies of scale and in many cases are extremely large. Our visit was a few weeks before their cotton harvest, so we really didn't get to see their harvest in full action. But their harvest usually begins in May and continues into June. The crop was a little late because of above average rainfall in March and April. But we were there during the last days and stages of soybean harvest. We were hosted by a cotton cooperative that represents 32 groups of producers who farm between 100 and 125,000 acres of cotton. A typical farmer in the area has about three times as many soybeans as they have cotton acres. A small farmer may have only about 3 acres in production, while a large farm approaches 50 and yes, even 100,000 acres. The cooperative, known as Unicotton, maintains their own HVI classing and provides classing services for both members and non-members. For members, they charge 30 cents a bale and 60 cents a bale for non-members. They also maintain research plots in the fields behind their offices for testing different varieties and production practices. Researchers are looking for improvements in yields, fiber quality, disease resistance, and weed tolerance. The cooperative also manages two gins. The first one, as you see here, the gin stands in this particular gin were built in the late 1960s, and the other we visited were built in the late 1980s. Both were moved from southern Brazil as cotton production moved out of that region into Mato Grosso. In one season, there were 73,000 bales ginned over a five-month period. In another year, 54,000 bales over a four-month period. During our visit, employees were busy readying the gins for the upcoming season. This gin employs 22 year-round employees and many seasonal employees. There will be approximately 60 workers per shift during the gin season, and each gin stand gins about four bales an hour. Here we had the opportunity to visit a nearby farm, one of five operated by this particular producer. Across the five farms, he had about 25,000 acres of soybeans and 5,000 acres of cotton. In this particular location, there was 12,500 acres, 3,700 of which were in cotton and the remainder in soybeans. The operation has 25 full-time employees. Most of the farms that we visited in Brazil seem to have less of a machine complement than a U.S. farm of comparable size, and much more of a labor force. However, with a longer and more generally predictable harvest season, they are able to use less machinery and longer to gather the crop. Expected yield for this particular operation is about 1,600 pounds per acre, but this year excessive rain in the weeks prior to our visit diminished that yield primarily due to boll rot. The farm applied about 350 pounds of fertilizer an acre in two different applications and uses 42 ounces of Pix per acre. Most generally, on average, they have 10 to 15 insect sprayings a year and are beginning to experience some boll weevil migration. When we asked about weed control, they indicated that it was done with a combination of spraying and manual labor. At another farm visit, we had an opportunity to discuss production cost. Expected yields at that farm were 1,100 to 1,200 pounds an acre with a cost approximating $400 per acre, but that excluded machinery cost. That's about 35 cents a pound. On other visits, we heard production cost in the low to mid 40 cent range. Advantages of agriculture in Mato Grosso are a favorable climate, average rainfall of 70 plus inches a year, and a five-month harvest window with no rain. They have good topography, high technology, and good fiber qualities. Mikes of 39 to 42 and staple lengths of 35 to 38 are common. Our stay in Mato Grosso concluded with a visit to an experiment station farm. At the farm, there was an emphasis on improving and increasing cotton production through a research foundation that was formed by 35 seed-producing companies. Their mission is to assist with seed quality research that's being done by the governmental agency, Embrapa. The foundation has a budget of about $4 million, and 75% of that funding comes from growers, with the remainder from industry. Our tour of Brazil concluded with a trip to Brasilia, the capital of Brazil, where we met with officials in Brazil's Ag Ministry and the U.S. Embassy. It was our first opportunity to speak directly with governmental officials regarding future trade agreements as well as the current WTO case against U.S. cotton. And in my opinion, our conversation didn't really produce anything particularly surprising. In conclusion, I think that each member of the delegation saw the tremendous potential to expand cotton production in Brazil. Suitable land is not a constraint. The new land in Mato Grosso that is being brought into production is not forest land. Instead, much of the land was previously used for grazing cattle and is covered with scattered trees and small brush. They literally push a few trees, run an offset across the pasture, and plant. Their favorable climate and predictable rainfall patterns are also significant assets as they provide large planting and harvesting windows. Their costs are relatively low, and at the time of our visit, producers were not really expecting to make significant changes in cotton acreage. They didn't view the world prices, which at the time were around 60 cents a pound, as providing any incentive to expand that production. However, the recent rise in cotton prices will surely be attractive to those growers, and we expect harvested acreage this year to be up approximately 25%. Soybeans remain their primary crop and cotton's main competitor for acreage. Producers shift back and forth between the two based on market signals, but they must also take into account the difference in production cost. Soybean costs are roughly one-third of the cost of growing cotton, and the higher cost of money, interest rates in particular, can shift the advantage to soybeans. Infrastructure and transportation pose limitations on their ability to expand. And as I mentioned earlier, our visit came on the heels of the soybean harvest. And Bobby and I can personally attest to the poor conditions of the roads after spending several hours in the back of a van weaving from side to side trying to dodge the potholes. But over time, if these issues are addressed, we have to expect Brazil's production to expand. A number of people that we visited were familiar with our industry. Most have visited the United States. It's quite clear that much of Brazil's cotton industry is being patterned after our own. The producers that we visited with are very progressive and appear to be good businessmen. Overall, I think that our tour group found that the trip was informative and very educational. We saw great potential, but we also have a better understanding of Brazil's challenges. Thank you for your attention this morning, and it was my privilege to bring this report before this conference.
Thanks, Woody.